Hygiene and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So when should you ask for a second opinion? And when you have to do this, you shouldn't feel bad about it either, because I know some people do. I'm here with Neil Spector. He's co-director of the Developmental Therapeutics Program at the Duke Cancer Institute. Dr. Spector has been published over 60 times. You know, he has a book out there. He's been written up in Oncogene Cancer Research and the Journal of Clinical Oncology. Neil Spector, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, this is, I think this is, you know, we just got done talking about, you know, questions to ask your doctor. And, you know, ultimately, it's just about, you know, empowering yourself, understanding what's going on. But this is another, I think, important topic as well. When should patients say, hey, maybe I need to go and talk to somebody else about this? So how important is this? And are there specific illnesses, you know, where people absolutely, without a doubt, should get a second opinion?
Yeah, so I let me just preface my comments about that by saying, number one, if you have a physician that you don't feel comfortable with or who absolutely is against, you know, and won't allow you, in essence, to get a second opinion, that's not a good sign. You have to have a good relationship with your doctor, and your doctor has to be willing to, you know, help you get second opinions. When should you get a second opinion? If you have a serious life-threatening illness, where again there's no black and white. There's very little black and white often in medicine, where, you know, take this penicillin for 10 days and your strep throat will be gone. You don't need a second opinion for that. If you have a difficult to treat cancer, where there's, you know, pancreatic cancer, perhaps cancers where the standard of treatment is not all that terrific, with respect to outcomes, I think you need to get a second opinion. You need to find out what's available. You need to find out what clinical trials are out there. And you need to, you know, perhaps seek expertise beyond your own doctor. So I think anyone who's got, you know, serious heart condition, cancer, you know, autoimmune diseases, again, where there's just not a take this pill and you'll be fine, you need to seek another opinion.
Yeah. Okay. So that's in regards to a diagnosis, and in regards to a treatment plan. What about
Right. Procedures?
You know, what about, you know, surgical procedures? I mean, do we just accept that our doctor that we're talking to is the expert in that procedure? I mean, when should we maybe see who else is out there that does that similar or same procedure?
Yeah. Again, I think if it's a routine procedure and you know that your doctor does that procedure routinely. So you need to ask how many times have you done this procedure? You know, I don't know if there's a magic number, but I certainly wouldn't go to somebody who does a procedure once a year. So if that's the answer that you get, and you should get an answer, I mean, you shouldn't be satisfied with somebody just saying, well, I do this a lot. I mean, I'd want to know what a lot means. If you don't get an answer that you like, then you need to find somebody else. And you need to have your physician try to help you find somebody else. It's often difficult for people who are not in the medical profession. You know, many of your listeners may say, well, that's great, but how am I supposed to, you know, find somebody who's really good? Your doctor should help you. Oftentimes, if you ask nurses, I mean, often nurses really know who the good physicians are. So if you're going to have a procedure and it's, you know, and there's risks associated with that procedure, significant risks, I would certainly ask for a second opinion.
Let me just two real quick follow-up questions. So if your doctor says, okay, so let's say you're going to have this procedure done and you ask your doctor, well, how many of these do you do a year? And your doctor says 200. Is there a way for a patient to confirm that?
Sometimes there are sites that you could actually document, or you could see what the frequency of that is. It's actually not easy for people, if somebody says I did 200, to verify that. So I think you just have to, you have to have a good relationship with your doctor. And if you have a relationship If you don't have a relationship and you question whether your doctor, you know, did 1 or 200, then, you know, I think that's a problem right off the bat.
Do a lot of the state medical boards, do they also keep track of this kind of information where patients can maybe contact those offices?
I think that's a good place to start. They also have information on whether doctors, you know, have been sued or not, or whether there's been problems in clinics. So I think contacting the state medical board is a good place to start.
Now, we've mentioned before too, you know, in our previous conversation that you know, reaching out to some of the clinical trials that are going on, maybe becoming a participant, even reaching out to the investigators. What did they find? Just again, gathering more information. How does a patient really do that? I mean, how does a patient really find that clinical trial? Are there sites that you like to use that can direct patients to clinical trials?
Yeah, so, you know, so there's a site, for oncology, for cancer patients, there's a tremendous site that everyone should know. It's the government, cancer.gov, and it has loads of information. It's very user-friendly. You can, you know, type in, it's all drop-down box. You put in what cancer you're looking for, clinical trials for what type of cancer, the stage of the cancer, early stage, metastatic disease. Do you want, you know, phase one, phase two, phase three, which are different stages of drug development? You could put in the area code within 50 miles. I mean, it's a very comprehensive website, and essentially gives you information on the clinical trial and contact information for people you can contact. So that is a must for anyone with cancer.
So that's cancer.gov, and then there's also a similar one, I think, that just kind of covers all the clinical trials out there, Neil. That's clinicaltrials.gov. I think both
right,
of those
exactly.
are good sites to go to. So, you know, one of the things that was when I was, you know, reading your bio, you know, just kind of preparing for the interview, you talk a lot about if a patient doesn't have confidence in their doctor, that's when we really got, like, go get that second opinion.
Right.
What are some of the red flags, though? I mean, is there anything that a doctor does that a patient should say, okay, I got to go talk to somebody else?
Right. Well, one of my big red flags is when a doctor says that never happens. You know, I've done research long enough, I've taken care of people long enough to realize to say that never happens, you know, human biology, I mean, each person is a unique individual, and we know relatively little about, you know, about the human body, the mind-body connection, healing. So when a physician says to me that never happens, and physicians did say to me, well, that never happens, I generally leave the office and seek a second opinion. If a physician isn't willing to have somebody goes, you know, or is not encouraging them to seek a second opinion, then I think that's a red flag that there's a problem as well.
Yeah. You know, we only have about a minute or so left, Neil. Let's go ahead and give the title of your book again, and then maybe
sure.
give us a quick little, like, synopsis of it.
Yeah, so the title is Gone in a Heartbeat, A Physician's Search for True Healing. It's essentially about a 16-year-plus journey that I embarked on, not willingly. I was in the prime of health. I was running Boston Marathons in the early 90s. I was a physician scientist in a great institution at Harvard. And within a short time, started having symptoms and very bizarre symptoms that were misdiagnosed for a number of years. And I ended up with severe heart complications, lived 11 years with 10% heart function, very active life, developed two cancer drugs.
Hey, Neil, we're gonna have to leave it there. I'm going to let my listeners know that they can find the book on Amazon. They can go to Barnes & Noble, right, and order it from there. Neil, I want to thank you for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.